We began last Sunday morning with a short series on our attitude toward God's Word. And this is really a springboard from the lesson before that, talking about our reverence, our attitude toward our worship and toward God's Word, and whether or not we respect God as we should. And we talked about in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, when Ezra read the Word of God, and this was after the Feast of Tabernacles, and the children of Israel assembled together and stood for 3 hours as the Word of God was read, and another 3 hours while it was being explained all in one day. And we asked ourselves, do we respect God's Word as we should? And so we began now with this short series of lessons, our attitude toward the Word of God. And the first thing we talked about what is the Word of God, that it's Scripture, it's God's communication with us, that it's inspired, it's profitable, as we've already read in our Scripture reading this morning. And then we talked about our attitude toward the Word of God is that it can save us. And certainly as we believe and do those things which are written within it, that we are saved from our sins. That God's Word does not return to Him void, but accomplishes exactly what He would have it to do, and that is the saving of the souls of men. Our Father, who is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so now this morning, with our next attitude, I want to begin talking about the attitude that we believe God's Word. And I want you to begin with me over in Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, as Jesus began His earthly ministry and going about and preaching in Mark 1, 14 and 15. And there, beginning in verse 14, "Now after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" It is this gospel that has the power to save us. As we talked last time, Romans 1, 16 and 17, Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes." And so this gospel, as Jesus went about in preaching, and He said to believe, it is this gospel that saves us. You know, it's like I believe Beth. For those visiting, she's my wife. I believe Beth. I believe that she loves me and she will keep the promises of marriage that she made to me. I trust her. I depend on her. I don't doubt her. And with God, I trust Him. I trust the promises He's made to me. I depend on Him. I don't doubt Him. I don't doubt His Word. I don't doubt God says He gives only good gifts. I don't doubt that. I trust Him completely to do the best in every situation, even if I must suffer through persecution, because that's what is best. That's what's best in the kingdom right now. I trust in God to do what is best, to provide for my necessities just as He's promised, and to give me eternal life in heaven just as He's promised to all those who believe and obey. So go with me to Romans chapter 10. I want to talk about this faith and this believing. Go with me to this passage. I know that you know it so well. I know that probably most of you or all of you can quote it, but I want you to see it in the Word of God. I don't want you just to listen to me, but to see it in the Word of God. Romans 10, 17, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God," or the Word of Christ. So this faith comes by hearing. And what does this hearing mean? You know, when I was young and I was living at home with my parents, and sometimes my father would tell my brother and I especially, we tended to get in trouble together, and he would tell us to do something, and he may tell us time after time after time, and he says, "You're not listening to me." Well, we had heard the words, you know. The old saying, they'd gone in one ear and out the other, is that we weren't paying attention to them. So this is what it means. We have to hear, we have to pay attention, and if we do that, the result of that is faith. Remember the Bereans, they received the Word of God and they searched it daily, and what was the result? People obeyed the Word of God and they were saved. But remember Moses at the waters of Meribah. Remember what happened there? He heard what God said. God said, go. Go and strike the rock. But what did he do? He spoke to the rock. Now, remember, he had done that at another time, and that's what God had told him there. But now it's something different here. He spoke to the rock, but he was commanded. I think I might be getting my story messed up here. I can't remember if he spoke to him, supposed to strike it or not. But anyway, the result was he did the wrong thing, and God was angry with him. What did he say? He said that Moses did not believe and did not treat him as holy. And what was the result of that? They were punished. Aaron eventually died, and Moses was not permitted to enter into the promised land. I want you to look here. One mistake, one time, did not believe for just a moment, and he was punished for all of his lifetime. Notice that one mistake on earth can result in suffering for the rest of our lives, and one sin for which we do not repent will result in eternal punishment in hell. We must believe, and we must believe God's word to be convinced and convicted and want to worship and serve God and to be saved. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And notice what Paul says here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. Paul says, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." Now remember verse 18. "The word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Those who are being lost, they believe this word, the preaching of this word, that it is foolishness. But God chose to save those who believe." Who believe God. "And do not count these things to be foolishness, but to be the word of God and to render obedience to it." Turn your Bibles with me over to Hebrews chapter 8, and let's look at the example of Abraham, an example you know so well. And here it talks about faith. This is the chapter on faith. In Hebrews 11 verse 8, "By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed." And you see, we're called by the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2:14, and we obey. This is what it means to believe, to have faith. It is to obey. And remember verse 17 of Hebrews chapter 11. "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac." And later on in this scripture, we're told that Abraham did not understand how God was going to do this. How was God going to keep the promise after Abraham killed his only son? He said, he didn't understand how that could be. Maybe God would raise him up and bring him back as a type. Verse 19, didn't understand how that was going to happen, but he obeyed. You know, there are going to be some things we don't understand. There are going to be some questions we have. But the point is, we obey the word of God, even when we may not understand some of the things. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. Leading up to this scripture, here the Apostle Paul says, Hebrews 5 and verse 9, "And having been made perfect," he, that's Jesus, "became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation." And so we must believe to be saved. Jesus says, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. God sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." We must believe, and believing, we obey. We walk by faith. It's like the firefighter that goes into the house and there's a couple of people who are sleeping and he wakes them up and he says, "Follow me and you'll be saved." Well, one followed the firefighter and he was saved because he believed. The other didn't follow the firefighter and he was not saved because he didn't believe. We must believe, and if we believe, we will obey. Turn your Bibles with me over to Galatians chapter 3. Because of this faith, our faith is accounted as righteousness. Galatians chapter 3 and beginning in verse 6. Now remember, we're talking about Abraham. We're talking about how he believed, he had faith. We're talking about that he obeyed God. Now, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6. Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. So this faith accounted as righteousness. What kind of faith are we talking about? The faith that obeys. Remember, James in chapter 2 talks about the faith that obeys and the faith that doesn't obey. He talks about the demons that, although they believe and they tremble, they're not obedient. We must have that faith that obeys. And when we do, verse 6, just like Abraham, who had faith that obeyed, our faith is reckoned as righteousness. Now this word reckoned, it is an accounting term. And just like an accountant would make a mark in a column, credits and debits and all of that. So God makes a mark. He takes our faith and he says he accounts that to be righteousness. You see, when we're born, as children, we're born sinless. And we've got a mark in our column that says we're saved. If we were to die moments after being born, well, we would go to heaven. But then because of sin, all of sin and fallen short of the glory of God, then this accounting moves this mark over. We're no longer righteous. We're no longer saved. We're lost because of our sin. Now, this is the problem that we're in. Because as men, we can't correct that so that we would be saved. We can't sacrifice ourselves sinlessly upon the cross. Someone had to do that for us. It's Jesus Christ. And so when we believe, as Abraham believed, and this faith was an obedient faith, God moves our mark from the unrighteous to be the righteous. He accounts it as righteousness. Verse 7, therefore be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham, who have the faith of Abraham, this obedient faith, it's accounted as righteousness. The scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer. Now Paul carries this further and brings it to you and I, to those who are Christians, in verse 26 of this chapter. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. For you are sons of God. Now, notice in verse 29, he's going to get to Abraham again. And being descendants of Abraham, remember what we've been saying about that. But we'll start up in verse 26. For you are sons of God through faith, talking about that, reckoned as righteousness, through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. And so for you and I, we must have this faith that renders obedience. And what is the obedience? To be baptized into Jesus Christ. Verse 27, Jesus says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. To believe and to render obedience. And at the point we render this obedience to be baptized into Jesus Christ, this faith is accounted as righteousness. We are, verse 29, descendants of Abraham. Verse 26, sons of God, and so then heirs according to the promise. That promise made thousands of years ago to Abraham. Now go with me over to Colossians chapter 2. Our attitude toward the Word of God is to believe it. And of course, to believe is to obey. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. Just jumping into the middle of things here. Paul says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you are also raised up with him through faith. Now we're talking about faith. We're talking about believing. We're talking about having the faith of Abraham. That when God called him, he obeyed. That's what we're talking about. And so, having been buried with him, that's buried with Christ Jesus in baptism. We've talked about that already. In which you are also raised up with him through faith in the working of God. That is, I believe what God says. And I believe the promises of God. And what has he said? He said that when we render our obedience to Jesus Christ to be baptized, that our sins are washed away. Remember, Ananias was sent by Jesus Christ to the apostle Paul. Well, before he was apostle, still living in his sins. And Ananias says, now why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So when we render obedience to Jesus Christ, our sins are washed away. God saves everyone who believes, has the faith of Abraham, the believer. That is an obedient faith. Our attitude is to believe God's word, to obey God and his word, to trust God without any doubt, and know that we'll be with him for eternity in heaven because we believe and obey his word. Well, the next attitude I want to talk with you this morning about is loving God's Word. We love God's Word. The word love is translated from the Greek word agape. And as you know already, there's a few Greek words translated agape. But when we talk about loving God's Word, we're talking about this word agape, and it is a commitment that we make in our lives. That's just like I love Beth. I've made a commitment to her. No matter what my feelings are, and sometimes I get aggravated at her like she gets aggravated at me, and I get mad at her like she gets mad at me, but I still love her because that's my commitment. So let's go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're going to talk about our commitment to the Word of God. Yes, we believe it, convinced of it, convicted, therefore we obey. And we also love it. We are committed to it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10. Again, just jumping in the middle of things here. We'll go in just a moment and catch the context. But just getting in the middle of things here in verse 10. And with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish. Talking about those who are lost because they don't believe the word. Because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. In other words, they were not committed to the Word of God as to be saved. And you know you've got to be committed. You think about Abraham. We've talked about him quite a bit today. You talk about his faith that when he was called, he obeyed. He left his family and went out to the country that God would show him. That when God told him to go and take your only son and to sacrifice him as a burnt offering, although he didn't understand all the details, how is God going to keep the promises, he went out and he did it in obedience to God. He was committed. And so we must be committed also. Remember Mark chapter 12, verse 30, that we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're committed to God. The word love in Mark chapter 12, verse 30 is the exact one we're talking about. That as we are committed to God with all of our being, so we are committed to His Word. Now let's catch the context of what's being said here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, now begin in verse 3. So we're really backing up here. And we're going to start in verse 3. Now the Apostle Paul, in talking here to those individuals, some of whom had believed that the resurrection already passed and was causing all sorts of trouble, he says here in verse 3, let no one in any way deceive you. Now that's what he's talking about. He's saying, you Christians, there's this thing going around, this false doctrine that the resurrection's already passed, it's causing trouble for some. Let no one deceive you. And he's going to be talking about this deception that had come into the world. In verse 10, he's saying, look, you've got to be committed to the Word of God. If you're not committed to the Word of God, you're going to believe some of these things. You're going to be deceived, and you are going to depart from the truth of the gospel. Look at verse 3. Let's catch what's happening here. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first. So that's the resurrection he's referencing from above. And the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? And you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he will be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Then that lawless one will be revealed from the Lord, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is, the one whose coming is in according to the activity of Satan with all power and false and signs and false wonders. These are people like Elymas in Acts chapter 13 who are doing fake miracles and deceiving people. One like Simon the sorcerer, and because of all these magic tricks he was doing, they thought he was a great power of God. And so these people will be coming here and deceiving people with these tricks. Now we get to verse 10. And with all the deception of wickedness, just like Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8, for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false. So this is what God has done. He's put both of these things in the world. There is the truth and the truth of the gospel, but there are these lies, and they are very appealing. Just like Simon the sorcerer and Elymas, people are doing these magic tricks to deceive people, to think that they have all of this power and that they are from God. And it's all a lie. Why has God done this? So that those in verse 10 who do not love the truth, those who are not committed to the truth, will believe a lie, believe what is false. Verse 12. In order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. So this is the world in which we live. Just like in Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 10, that there's this struggle. And our fight is with the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. So we must put on the whole armor of God. Verse 13. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith and the truth. This is the choosing of God. Paul talks a lot about this in Ephesians chapter 1. That those who believe the Word, those who believe in His Son and render obedience, would be sanctified, made holy, and saved from their sins. Verse 14. It was for this He called you through our gospel. Now remember again, Hebrews 11:8, that Abraham had faith. He believed. And when God called him, he obeyed. Now today we are called through the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. And if we have this faith that results in sanctification, faith in the truth, verse 13, just like Abraham, we will obey. Now, verse 15. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. Now, not from some other man somewhere, but from the apostles. Now, of course, the apostles no longer walk upon the earth. All we have is that which is written. And so the Apostle Paul says here, stand firm in this teaching, in this gospel, in this writing, the Word of God. Stand firm. Verse 10, love the truth, stay committed, so that, verse 3, no one deceives you in any way. Because the deception is out there. So that those who do not have this commitment, loving the truth, to obey in faith, that they will believe what is false. Therefore, as God's children, go with me over to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. I just want to look at a few verses there with you. Therefore, we love the Word of God. We love His law and meditate on it day and night. Psalms 119, and first of all, go to verse 97. Verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. I love the truth. I love the Word of God. I am committed to it. I believe it. I obey it. I love it. Go to verse 113. Verse 113. I hate those who are double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I wait for your word. His strength came from the Word of God. He loved it. He loved the law. And remember, we're no longer under that Mosaic law today. Galatians 6:2, we must fulfill the law of Christ. We love the law of Christ revealed within His word. And go with me to verse 163. Our attitude toward the Word of God. We believe it. We love it. Verse 163. I hate and despise falsehood, but I love your law. Seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous ordinances. Where are these righteous ordinances? They're within the Word of God. He says, seven times a day I praise you. Our attitude, we believe the Word, we love the Word, therefore we praise the Lord because of His righteous ordinances contained in His Word. Verse 165, those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. Why? Why is that? If you love the Word of God, truly love it, you will obey it. If you love me, Jesus says, keep my commandments. And verse 166, I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and do your commandments. It says, I hope for your salvation. Why? Why can he have a hope of salvation? It's because he loves the Word of God and obeys it. Because he loves it. 167. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Love. Committed. A man loves a woman and walks to the end of the earth to make her happy. A woman loves a man, works day and night to see that her husband succeeds in all things. Parents love a child and sacrifice their personal desires so the child has all that he needs in life. God loves us and gave his only begotten Son. Jesus loves us and died on the cross so that we could be saved. Do you love God's Word? Would you walk to the end of the earth? For the Word of God. Would you work day and night to see that it succeeds? Would you sacrifice your personal desires for the Word of God? Would you give up your life to live as the Word commands? And would you die on the cross if necessary to stay true to God's Word? You see, we know what love is. Love is commitment. Love is giving everything to do what's best in every situation. We know what that is. A husband knows what it is. A wife knows what it is. Parents know what it is. We know what it is as God's children because of what God and Jesus Christ has done for us. Do we love the Word of God as we love a husband or a wife or a child? And do we love the Word of God as much as we love God Himself? We should. How is your love for God evident to people around you? I want to close with two scriptures. The first one is in Philippians chapter 1. How is your love for the Word of God evident to others who are around you? Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Verse 27. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Well, how do you do that? Well, you've got to live by it. You've got to obey it. It's got to be what you use to make every decision. You're committed to it, to do what's right in every situation, no matter the personal cost. Therefore, your conduct is worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And verse 28. Living now according to that word, in no way alarmed by your opponents. In other words, you're not afraid of those who oppose you. You're not afraid of those who would come against you or who would try to do you harm because of your faith and obedience to the Word of Jesus Christ. Not alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction to them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. And remember the Apostle Paul to Timothy, all those who wish to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Is your conduct worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And is that evident to all who are around? One other scripture, and that's from Colossians chapter 1. If you believe the Word of God and are rendering obedience to it because you love it, you are empowered by this gospel, by this word. You are empowered to live this life that we are talking about, dedicated and committed, and a conduct worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are empowered by this word itself. Colossians 1 verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. Now, remember that. Don't forget it, because I'm going to read a few more verses. This knowledge comes from the Word of God. And you are filled with this knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. You understand. You are using this Word to guide your life as you render obedience to it. Verse 10, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Remember, worthy of the gospel before. Now worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge, growing spiritually in the Word of God. Now verse 11. Okay? Because you're in the Word of God, committed to it, obeying it, increasing in your knowledge, strengthened with all power. In other words, there's no shortage of spiritual strength for you. There is absolutely no shortage. As a matter of fact, there is more available to you than you will ever need. Strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. Joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, for He rescued us from the domain of darkness. snatched us from the domain of darkness, from the domain of Satan, and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. That is the church of Jesus Christ. If your commitment is to love the truth, you are living a life that glorifies the Lord, a life that is worthy of the gospel and worthy of the Lord, because you are being strengthened by this word, this gospel, every day. If your commitment is there, if you are increasing in the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and of course you'll be rendering obedience to that. Our attitude toward the Word of God is to believe. And because we believe, to obey, and so our faith is accounted as righteousness. And to love God's Word. And because of that commitment, again rendering our obedience to it, willing to sacrifice whatever must be sacrificed and endure whatever must be endured, we are strengthened and empowered by this word itself as it performs its work, which God has set forth and ordained. As we talked about last time, it does not return to God void. It does exactly what God wants it to do. Part of that is strengthening us, the children of God. Our attitude is to believe and to love. Thank you for your very good attention. We'll extend the gospel invitation. If you'll get your song books out, we'll turn to number 324. The song selected, "Come, Sinner, Come." As the invitation goes out through the gospel, you'll notice the citation below the title of this song is 2 Thessalonians 2:14. We read that passage this morning. That we're called by the gospel. The Lord is calling us, and He's calling us through this gospel. And of course, as our commitment is to render obedience to it. If that's your commitment this morning, you're not a Christian yet, what must you do? The Lord Jesus Christ simply has commanded you to believe in Him, that He is the Christ, the Messiah, the one who has all power and authority in heaven and on earth, and therefore, you want to render your obedience to Him. What does He ask you to do? To repent of your sins, that is to change. No longer to do those things that are wrong, but to do those things that are right. To make your confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Your sins will be washed away, as we've already talked about today. You'll be snatched from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. You'll be added to the church. We can help you in any way this morning. Won't you step to the front now as we stand and as we sing.